There she goes!
In 1920, in the north of PA, a boy was born whose name would ring round the world one day. Time passed by and the boy grew straight, strong but gentle and kind. The fame and the glory that would come to him never changed his mind. Strong but gentle, proud but shy, pride of his native land. The world is better just by knowing Stan the Man.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the State of the Nation Address by Cards and Stuff. I'm Kevin Reynolds, the author of STLCardsAndStuff.com, known to most of you as just simply Cards and Stuff. And it is the first weekend in March, which means that actual baseball, actual Major League Baseball, is less than a month away. But if you've been watching MLB Network lately, you're already seeing possibly what some could call semi-pro baseball being played in the World Baseball Classic. I've been watching the first round in, I think it said Pool B. I don't even begin to understand how the WBC is really set up, especially considering most of the advertised dates for the WBC are March 7th through 10th, and players are leaving cards camp, such as Mitchell Boggs and Carlos Beltran, starting this weekend. But there are games being played right now on MLB Network, and I have to say they're fairly interesting. I believe I watched late at night last night part of the, who was it? I think Australia was playing. I watched a few different teams. I watched Australia, Korea, Chinese Taipei, and I believe the Netherlands. And one of those games was today, and I can't remember who was playing who. But I'm one of those guys that, you know, I enjoy watching the Olympics when they come around, and for a couple weeks I'll tune in and watch countries battle it out. And despite what a lot of people think, I have to admit baseball was a poor fit in the Olympics. For whatever reason, despite the fact that it truly is an international game, more so than, say, football ever was, or I think ever will be, for some reason, baseball just never really fit the Olympics. So I didn't necessarily have a problem when baseball was dropped from the Olympics. But I really backed the decision when I found out about the World Baseball Classic and the plans that baseball had for that particular tournament. So, if you haven't seen it, check in with MLB Network and see what you're missing. It's interesting to see not just how other teams and other countries play the game, but also how other fans and other locations around the globe receive the game and cheer for the game. I've always been a fan of, while I wouldn't want the Cardinals to have to do this, but I've always been a fan of getting up at around 3, 4, or 5 in the morning to watch a game played in Japan, in Tokyo or wherever, between two major league clubs to start the season. I know a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people feel it's ridiculous. The only thing that really irritates me is I got up early the last time they did that, and wasn't able to watch the game live. And I didn't know they weren't going to broadcast the game live early in the morning. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people to broadcast the game at 3, 4, or 5 in the morning, because it's being played, you know, halfway across the globe. But for me, I always thought it was neat to get up and have some breakfast and be the only one awake in the house with everybody else asleep and the sun wasn't even up. And I was watching the first baseball game of the season that counted. Now, if they try to do this mid-season, I don't think anyone would really be that interested. You're messing with a lot of team schedules that way. There's not a whole lot of excitement about the game, but doing it the first game of the season, I was a big fan of that. So I've always liked the international flavor of the game when they do things like this, and I think it's a well-executed tournament, the World Baseball Classic, the way they're doing it right now, and I think it's worth checking out. So if you haven't seen it and you have MLB Network, go out and check that out this week. But back in Cards Camp in Jupiter, there's some interesting roster decisions to be made. And there's a lot of discussion, a lot of question marks out there surrounding a few players, but two players in particular. Now, we all know about the starting pitcher intrigue, and we all know about this fifth spot that's up for grabs. Really two, but Lance Lynn likely has a number four spot locked up. But in the meantime, guys like Shelby Miller and Trevor Rosenthal and Joe Kelly are competing for that fifth spot. I know a lot of people would like to see Michael Wacha's name thrown in there, but he really needs to start the season at Triple A and or at Double A, excuse me, and see if he can log some time, a little bit more time in professional ball, and further develop that breaking pitch and really kind of get his feet under him before we launch him into the major league level. But besides the starting pitching question, a lot of people are starting to focus on questions around two players in particular. And the first is obviously Oscar Tavares. The super prospect for the Cardinals has been just flat out slugging the ball. Now, a lot of us have seen him do this already in Double A. When I would watch Tavares play in Springfield last season, there just was a different sound off the bat when he hit the ball. When he was at the plate, and you know, some of us might be in the outfield, and the way a lot of minor league games go is you come in, you get your hot dog, you get your beer, and you sit down, and you kind of hang out at the ballpark. You watch the game, but at, you know, $5-6 a ticket to sit in general admission, a lot of the time it's just more a night out with the family. And so you might have your back turned, or you might be chatting with someone, and suddenly the crack of the bat changes. Suddenly the sound of the ball off the bat sounds significantly different, and it makes you turn your head. And every time that happened last season, it was Oscar Tavares that made me turn around and pay attention. And you hear that about other players throughout baseball. You hear scouts or coaches say, the ball just has a different sound coming off his bat. And that's Tavares. He drives the ball. He's a line drive hitter. He's kind of what I remember Pujols always saying about himself in St. Louis, which was, I'm a line drive hitter who happens to hit home runs. La Russa would say that about him. Pujols would say that about himself. And it certainly seemed to be true most years. Tavares seems to be that kind of guy. He just has a sweet swing. Matheny said that his bat is always on time, meaning he's always able to square up the ball, seemingly wherever it's out on the plate. Some Cardinals metrics and evaluations seem to be comparing Tavares to Vlad Guerrero, who was notorious for his amazing plate coverage. He could hit a ball seemingly anywhere across the plate, outside, inside, high, low, wherever the pitcher wanted to throw it, Guerrero seemed to be able to put the bat on the ball and power it out of the park. So Tavares seems to have that kind of plate coverage. He drives the ball, and he's raising a lot of eyebrows at camp. The problem is Tavares is only 20 years old, and he's the highest level he's played at is Double A. Now, it's interesting, Tavares, I believe, along with Wong, with Colton Wong, but Tavares, every level he's played at, when it's been possible in the Cardinals system, he's won a championship. Last year, I believe he was the MVP of the league in the minor league system in Double A, and I think I read that he was also the MVP of the All-Star game that year, the Texas League All-Star game. So he's certainly impressing a lot of people, but the highest level he's competed at is Double A up to this point. Now, that doesn't necessarily disqualify him to make the major league team. We saw Trevor Rosenthal last year make the jump from Double A to the major leagues. I believe, if I remember right, and I'm sure someone will correct me on this, but I believe if I remember right, Pujols jumped from Single A to Triple A, largely due in part to Walt Jocketty attempting to hide him from another team during a trade when the other team was looking for a player to be named later in one of the deals Jocketty was able to swing. And I believe one of the stories I read said Jocketty called down and said, get Pujols out of there, out of Single A, and they bumped him up at Triple A to potentially hide him. But regardless, the point is that jumping a level is not unheard of. It can be done. It was done by Rosenthal last year, and it was done by Pujols. It was done by David Freese. I don't think Freese ever played an inning in Double A. I think he went from Single A to Triple A when he was traded to the Cardinals, if I'm remembering correctly. So jumping a level is not something that's unheard of. it's just not typically recommended. Now, in Tavares' case, there are some unique factors in play here. And one of the big ones is that Holiday and Beltran, two all-star level players, are manning the corner outfield spots in St. Louis. So obviously Tavares isn't going to come up and become a starter right away. He could potentially play center field for John Jay and add that potent bat to the lineup. But then that brings up other questions. If Furcal can't go every day and can't be an everyday leadoff hitter, John Jay's got to be your leadoff hitter. So who do you hit leadoff? You need to have somebody get on base in front of your RBI guys. But more importantly, Tavares still needs to, according to most reports, further develop his outfield game. He just needs more games. He needs to log more games in the outfield to further develop his instincts and refine his outfield play. And if you're going to play left field or right field, sometimes you can get away with being a bit underdeveloped. But if you're going to play center field, that's a whole different ball game. You've got a lot more ground to cover. You've got to run the outfield at least to a point. The read off the bat is a lot harder to pick up because a lot of balls are hit more straight on to center field. And so playing center field is a whole different ballgame, and it's harder for an underdeveloped player to pick up at the major league level than, say, left or right field. So he's got some natural blocks to his playing time at the major league level. But also, we've heard a lot of reports of Tavares struggling with his attitude or his maturity level. Now, one positive report I heard out of St. Louis was that the club really believes, knowing Tavares, that his immaturity struggles are more due to his age, being a 20-year-old kid, than they are to any kind of personality difficulty. I took that to mean he's just young, he's not a jerk. And so the club really expects him to grow out of that. And if you're not familiar with some of the stories about Tavares' attitude or maturity difficulties, there's a story about him failing to run out a ground ball in Double A, and his manager sat him for a game or even more for there may have been two separate instances that he was benched. But regardless, his Double A manager Schulte, with the club's blessing, benched him for failing to run out a ground ball to first base mid-game after Schulte had specifically had a conversation with his team about making sure to run out every ground ball, making sure to hustle. I also heard a report or read a report the other day. This is one that I hadn't heard before, but that he had left, I believe it was the Dominican Winter League at some point because he reportedly quote-unquote needed a break. He said he'd been playing too much and he just needed a break from the game, and he left the league and went to be with family for a while, and I guess the club didn't really take that well. He made a last minute decision to not attend the club's winter warm-up event or the Cardinals caravan. Tavares was actually scheduled to be on the Joplin, Missouri caravan here in my hometown, and he didn't show. It was supposed to be Tavares and Shelby Miller, and he was noticeably absent. And then even this year, he showed up with a shot at making the team in big league camp. There's been a lot of discussion about Tavares, obviously. And he showed up and suddenly sprung this notion on the team that he might want to play for Team Canada in the World Baseball Classic. This was something the team was completely unaware of. Tavares showed up, and he and his agent suddenly brought up this idea. Hey, maybe we could go play for Team Canada this year in the World Baseball Classic. Despite the fact that he's got his first real shot at making the opening day roster for the Cardinals. And then finally, the other day there was just the latest example of what some people are calling, lazy or hot dogging play in the outfield. The other day, if you were listening to Mike Shannon on the radio, I believe it was Giancarlo Stanton hit a ball to center field, and Tavares was playing center, and Shannon just about went nuts talking about Tavares supposedly hot dogging the play in center field and turning a double, what should have been a double, into a triple, which later resulted in a run. Of course, the next half inning, Tavares made up for it by hitting a grand slam. But the point being that Tavares either doesn't have the instincts quite yet, or doesn't have the maturity level to be a starter in the major leagues. And that's aside from any issues with being blocked. Now, if Taveras starts the season in the major leagues, then, you know, Matheny has to spend time and the rest of the club has to spend time trying to help Taveras develop as a person, as a player, as a young man. But if he goes to AAA, he gets to be with Pop Warner. Pop Warner was the manager in Springfield for a long time, and he was promoted to AAA recently. And one of the skills that Warner reportedly possesses is the ability to develop young players like Taveras, the ability to teach them how to play the game, to work with them, to further develop them as young men. And many believe that at least a half season with Pop Warner in AAA would be valuable to a young player like Oscar Taveras. I know Bernie Miklas in the Post-Dispatch kind of sarcastically wrote, you know, are we supposed to believe that a handful of games in AAA is going to mature a player? And no, I don't think that we're supposed to necessarily believe that, but I do believe that, you know, a half season of baseball, possibly, maybe even a full season of minor league ball under the right manager provides the potential for an aha moment, for that insightful moment for a player to go, oh, okay, I get it, which can happen spontaneously, can happen almost overnight. A player can suddenly lay down in bed one night and think, you know what, maybe this guy knows what he's talking about, and suddenly something clicks. We're not talking about a cumulative effect here. We're not talking about, you know, 40, 50 games in AAA are going to suddenly mature a player who's got 94 games total. What we're talking about here is the opportunity to provide that aha moment, that insightful moment that makes everything click for a young man and a young player. And I think spending half a season in AAA with Pop Warner could provide that opportunity for Taveras. But aside from that, spending that season in AAA could also have two other effects. One, the obvious, is to further develop the rest of his game, including outfield play, and some people have mentioned base running. But for me, the primary value I see to him starting in AAA, the primary value to his actual game on the field, is that it allows him to adjust to more competitive pitching in AAA rather than making the jump straight from AA to the major league level. It's not that he can't handle the major league pitching right now, but wouldn't it be easier if we could allow him to take that kind of half step first to AAA and spend about 50 games facing better breaking pitches and more controlled fastballs that, you know, he may have seen guys that threw 95, 96 in AA. But a lot of them at that level don't have a ton of control, especially if they're coming out of the pen. I remember watching Brendan Ryan come down for a rehab assignment in Springfield, and the guy that he was facing in the second half of the game was throwing 101 miles an hour. But he had no idea where the ball went, and he hit Ryan and sent him to first base. And I remember watching Brendan just jumping around in the batter's box. It was clear he had no intention of swinging. He was just trying to keep from getting hurt and getting re-injured. Because the guy just couldn't control his pitches. But you get up into AAA, and if a guy's throwing 100 miles an hour in AAA, and you see him once or twice, or if he's throwing multiple innings, more often than not, he can control his pitches. And that creates a whole new dynamic for a hitter in the box. So I'd like to see Oscar Taveras face some AAA pitching and kind of take that half step and spend some time adjusting to a more competitive level of pitcher before being asked to jump to the major league level. So that's Oscar Taveras, and surely the discussion will go on throughout spring training. And you know, Mozeliak wants to see Taveras develop with everyday at-bats in AAA, but certainly he has the opportunity to force his way onto the club. But Oscar Taveras is not the only AAA slugger in the Cards system that's pushing Mo to make a decision. Matt Adams, who's well known to all of us, or should be by now, is flat out raking. Whether it's a single, a double, or a home run, Adams is crushing the ball. When he hits line drives, I think I've seen three singles, or seen two, and heard of a third one that Adams has hit to right field this year. And every single time the reaction with the crowd and the announcers is the same. It's something along the lines of, whoa, and Adams rips the ball. You know, and the ball goes bouncing to the wall in right field, and Adams pulls up with a single at first base. The guy can just flat out crush the ball. He's just mashing at the plate. And he's really major league ready. And John Mozeliak has recognized this. He's acknowledged it. He said, you know, there's nothing really Adams has to show in AAA that he hasn't already shown. The problem with Adams is he's just blocked. His only position is first base. He's dropped some weight this year, but that doesn't mean that he's able to play another position. It just means he can move a little better and play first base better. But without a DH in the National League, Adams really is a man without a position, but one awfully big bat. Now, there's a chance Adams could make the Major League squad. He's one of those guys that could just push Mozeliak into putting him on the team. But if he makes a team in the Major Leagues, he'll pinch hit a bit. He's maybe going to play a game here and there at first base. And when the Cardinals need a DH, you know, he's going to be an obvious candidate. But he's not going to take away time from Alan Craig at first, for the most part. And he's not going to take away a lot of playing time from the veteran Ty Wigginton. And primarily because Ty Wigginton signed a two-year, $2.5 million each year contract. And so that means Adams at-bats are going to be extremely limited. And in that scenario, a role that Adams only really partially filled last season, and really not even that much for the Major League club, because when he came up, it was due to multiple injuries at the first base position, and he got to start a lot of games. And so he's going to be unfamiliar with spotty playing time, and his value can really only go down from there. As opposed to if he starts a season in AAA, and he can continue to put up productive numbers and keep his swing intact with regular, everyday at-bats, he can serve as almost the perfect Alan Craig insurance at first base for John Mozeliak. Now, we've already seen Craig struggling with shoulder soreness, which, you know, could be one of those situations where he would play through it in the majors and in real games. But in spring training, they're sitting him and letting him rest. And Craig's already struggled with knee difficulties in previous seasons. So if Craig goes down, Matt Adams could easily step in for the Cardinals and at least provide some pop. But if Adams gets spotty at bats and spotty playing time in the majors, it's going to be a lot more difficult for him to step in and produce at the level we would need him to produce at to replace Alan Craig. But if he starts in AAA and he gets regular everyday at bats, he can keep his swing intact, he can keep his approach intact, and he can still be a productive player when and if and when the Cardinals need Adams to step in for Craig. But also, he retains his value as a trade chip. In mid to late July, when the team is in need of a piece for a playoff push, like a shortstop, especially if Furcal's elbow gives out and he can't answer the bell, and the team doesn't want to make a go of it with one of their minor league options, Matt Adams suddenly becomes a significant piece in a trade for the Redbirds. If Craig, by that point, has proven that he's likely going to have an injury-free year, or at least be able to answer the bell more often than not, Matt Adams suddenly becomes a significant trade chip in a significant deal for the Cardinals, one that's likely going to include a piece that could help the Cardinals at shortstop for the future. But if he comes up and he spends that time at the major leagues getting limited at bats and allowing his value to erode and really lessen his value on the trade block, then what he could fetch in return is going to be at least reduced. So I think Matt Adams, for the most part, should start the season in AAA, and he should continue to get regular at bats as insurance for Alan Craig, and potentially retain, if not increase, his value as a trade chip in July. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see how these questions play out. But one thing that's becoming obvious is that the Cardinals' depth this season is possibly, I guess what I'm trying to say is the Cardinals team is deeper at so many different positions than I think I've seen in a long time. I don't remember the last time the Cardinals had this much depth at so many different positions. for example, in starting pitching, that seems to be the area of focus for most people when they look at the Cardinals system. And the Cardinals certainly have a lot of pitchers that could step into the rotation right now. You're looking at Joe Kelly, Trevor Rosenthal, Shelby Miller, and potentially even Michael Wacha. And only one of those guys will crack the opening day rotation. All of the others, whether they serve a role in the bullpen or they pitch in AAA or AA, suddenly become depth for the Cardinals and could likely step right into a starting role if they had to this season. So the Cardinals are arguably two, three, or even four pitchers deep at the starting pitcher position. When we're talking about bullpen pitching, you know, assuming Kelly, Rosenthal, and Miller all make the club in some capacity, right-handed options like Fernando Salas and Marte provide bullpen depth with major league experience, likely sitting in AAA and ready to go. And from the left side, Sam Freeman comes into camp with a new pitch the staff is calling a knuckle curve. I guess he possessed the pitch last season, but the club asked him to work a lot more on it this year, and early results so far in camp sound promising. Now, I haven't heard a lot about it, but just that people are saying that they can see a lot of promise with the pitch, and that they've seen the result of a lot of work that Freeman put in this offseason. So the entire pitching staff is really sitting in good position right now, and that's a result of all of those young guns that the Cardinals have drafted finally paying off. But when you're talking about position players, the Cardinals have a lot of depth as well. When you look at the outfield, you know, obviously we have familiar faces like Adron Chambers and Shane Robinson that still exist. But fans have to believe an injury to the starting three, being Beltran, Holiday, or Jay, likely means the beginning of the Oscar Tavares era in St. Louis. And for my money, that's pretty fair depth. When you're talking about, two guys that are really 4A players at this point, being Robinson and Chambers, but an impact guy like Tavares, in your depth chart, the Cardinals are really looking pretty good. It's hard to imagine a scenario where the Cardinals would have to trade for a bat to play any of the outfield positions. At center field, they have Jay, Tavares, Shane Robinson, Adron Chambers, who's admittedly not a great center fielder at this stage in his game, although Bob Netherton would rather see Chambers playing than John Jay in St. Louis. But then at the corner outfield position, you have Oscar Tavares ready to step in and could conceivably hit right now in the middle of the order. And that doesn't even address Justin Christian, who the Cardinals, acquired this year for minor league depth. So the outfield position is looking strong for the Cardinals. At the infield positions, it's almost as good, with second base a logjam of possibilities with Matt Carpenter and Daniel Descalzo and Pete Cosma and so on. We've all heard about Colton Wong, who's likely going to start at AAA this year, but ready to be the second baseman of the future if needed. First base is well protected. If Craig goes down, with veteran Ty Wigginton on the club for the next 2 years, and Matt the Whammer Adams in AAA, and that doesn't even count on Matt Carpenter, who is already going to be on the Major League roster and spent a lot of time spelling Craig last season at first base. And then, of course, Descalzo, Carpenter, and Wigginton are all capable of playing third base if needed, and Carpenter and Wigginton both provide power, and Descalzo competed for the Gold Glove at third base a couple seasons ago. So the infield positions are looking strong. Obviously, shortstop, it would be easy to say the Cardinals are exposed at shortstop, and that may be true, but the signing of Ronnie Cedeno, the emergence of Pete Cosma, and the ascension of Greg Garcia, and obviously the continuing development of Ryan Jackson, all means the Cardinals could conceivably survive a season without Furcal if they had to. If they didn't want to pull a trade, Cosma's got playoff experience. He seemingly has received that boost of confidence the Cardinals felt he needed to become the player they thought he could be when he was drafted. And he's doing well in camp. I mean, he's really looking good in spring training. And could likely outplay Ronnie Cedeno and force Mozeliak to just eat the $1.1 million contract he gave Cedeno at the beginning of the year, just to put Cosma on the team. Greg Garcia turned in a great season at AA Springfield. If you're not familiar with this guy, go out to baseballreference.com or the Springfield Cardinals site or wherever you can find his stats and look at his season that he put together in AA. The guy can hit for power, he can hit for average, and he's a good shortstop. So You know, and it wasn't that long ago that Ryan Jackson was considered number one on the depth chart in the minor league system at shortstop. And now he's possibly third. So the Cardinals really are not as bad off at shortstop as a lot of people want to believe. I would argue that Ronnie Cedeno shouldn't even be really on the team. That I didn't understand that signing. He's not going to be an everyday option. If the Cardinals find themselves in need of an everyday shortstop, especially early on, they're likely going to look outside the team, outside the organization. But regardless, I would trust Pete Cosmo with the position over Ronnie Cedeno right now. And I think we saw today in the spring training game that Waino started, Cedeno, I guess, made two sloppy throwing errors. And that's Jennifer Langosch's words, the beat writer for MLB.com, assigned to the Cardinals, that both resulted in errors today. So Cedeno's not really playing at the level he needs to play at to avoid getting released. Even though he's got that $1.1 million contract. So all of the infielders, the outfielders, and the entire pitching staff is well protected with significant depth in the Cardinals system. Of course, as is the case in most seasons, the only truly unprotected position on the field is Yadier Molina and his spot behind the plate. And Tony Cruz can do the job if a temporary injury pops up to Yadier and Yadi has to miss a few games here and there, maybe even 2 weeks. But much more than that, if anything serious happens to Yadi, the Redbirds are in trouble. Tony Cruz is not going to be able to replace the offensive production, the leadership, the handling of the pitching staff, the ability to shut down the running game for an opposing team that Yadier Molina has. And obviously it's going to be a significant drop in production if Yadi goes down. But you know what? That's kind of the way most teams in Major League Baseball are. The last time I remember the Cardinals possessing depth at the position of catcher was when Mike Matheny was our starting catcher in 04, and Yadier Molina had come up and was the heir apparent to the position, and Matheny was mentoring Molina. And at that time, you really didn't care who started because you had a gold glove catcher and team leader in Mike Matheny, and you had a potentially future Hall of Famer in Yadier Molina in his rookie year. So, you know, a lack of depth at catcher is fairly normal. But I say this again, this is the best depth I've seen on a Redbird team in years. And a lot of it is not necessarily because John Mozeliak went out and specifically addressed depth. He did. It seems like he did anyway with Wigginton and Cedeno. But really, the best depth that the Cardinals have in their system is because that number one ranked Cardinals farm system continues to show it can produce major league level players. And now it's showing that it's not only producing supporting role players like Descalzo Shane Robinson and guys like that, but also now impact players like Shelby Miller and Trevor Rosenthal and potentially Oscar Tavares. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens with the Cardinals this year. And I have to say, as a Cardinal fan, I feel a lot more comfortable going into the season and a lot more convinced that each one of our positions is potentially as protected as they could be, especially without significantly increasing the Cardinals' payroll. All right, that's going to do it for the week. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Last week, we threw out our first roster prediction of the season on the site. So if you haven't seen that, I believe it's called St. Louis Cardinals, the first roster prediction for 2013 or something along the lines of that. We always like to do it crazy early so that we're really taking a chance. And we know that when we do this prediction, more than likely half of the decisions we make to put guys on the team are going to be drastically wrong. But it's kind of like drafting in fantasy football. If you wait till all the injuries are in and all the preseason games are done to draft your team, you almost feel like you're cheating, you know, that you're drafting with more knowledge than what most of the fantasy football players around the country are drafting with. So I always like to throw that first roster prediction of the season out there way too early to really tell much of anything. So go check that out and see what mistakes we've made. Kim featured in her edition of Kim Stuff on Thursday, the Legend of Stan the Man DVD from StanTheManInc.com, or StanTheMan.com. I can't remember the exact address, but go check out her post. The DVD is something they've sold at Winter Warm-Up before. You can buy it on their site. I think it's just $20. And if you go out there, you can get a lot more information on the DVD and my impression of it, and a lot more information than what I can probably really give you here. But it's the Legend of Stan the Man DVD, and it's the latest Kim Stuff post on the blog at stlcardsandstuff.com. And Birdwatching on Tuesday focused on the possibility of acquiring Troy Tulowitzki from the Rockies. We all know this is likely not going to happen. Matter of fact, it probably stands a better chance of happening mid-season. And I, as much as I hate that, because it's probably going to be more expensive for the Cardinals to acquire somebody like Tulowitzki in July. You know, if you go out there, we talk a little bit about the financial ramifications and kind of try to put that in context of the Cardinals' payroll over the next few years. Tulowitzki has a huge contract. The guy's being paid $20 million a year for, I believe, five straight seasons in the future. And that's a level the Cardinals were leery of going to or exceeding with Pujols for too long. So and Pujols didn't have the injury history that Tulowitzki does. So if you want to know more about that, go out there and check out the latest bird watching post on the blog. And finally, the UCB, the United Cardinal Bloggers, spent February conducting the annual preseason roundtable. That's where, you know, each one of us kind of throws a question out there, a different question each day, and then we discuss it back and forth for really the entirety of the day and sometimes into the next morning. And then the person who posed the question will go put the transcript of that discussion out on their blog. But you can go to UnitedCardinalBloggers.com, UnitedCardinalBloggers.com, and see a link to each blog's transcript. And you can really see the entire roundtable right there. As it unfolds in front of you. So go out there and check that out. But also keep an eye out for the next UCB project, which is this March, coming up here pretty soon. It's the annual predictions project, where we take a look at where we think teams are going to finish in each division. In the NL Central, the NL East, the NL West, the AL East, AL West, AL Central, all of the divisions. Some blogs participate in every single one of the division predictions. Other blogs participate in just the NL Central. And some of them, this is where I kind of fall, is you know, I may participate in all of the division predictions, but I really only put a lot of detail into the divisions that I know well, like the NL Central. So keep an eye out for that. And again, you can always go to UnitedCardinalBloggers.com to find out more information on upcoming and previous UCB projects. Then that'll do it. If you haven't picked up your copy of the UCB Annual on your Kindle, go check that out. It's on Amazon.com. It's the United Cardinal Bloggers Annual for 2013, An Unexpected Journey. It's just $4.99 on your Kindle, and I highly recommend it. It's a lot of content for a very low price. So check that out on Amazon.com if you haven't got your copy already. And I think it's the third time I've said this podcast, but that really will do it. Enjoy the week of spring training games. Players are starting to depart their teams for the World Baseball Classic. So competitive baseball is being played, and enjoy that on MLB Network. And we will see you next week with our latest State of the Nation podcast next Sunday. And in the meantime, go out to the blog at stlcardsandstuff.com and see what we're writing about. Thanks a lot, and go Cards!
An inspiration to millions, for power he had no thirst. He'll always be remembered by his fans as the good guy who finished first. Strong but gentle, proud but shy, pride of his native land. The world is better just by knowing Stan the Man. The world is better just by knowing Stan the Man.